One of the voices who's been on the program over the course of this year was Jesus Ochoa, who was with us in August. He's lived in El Paso, Texas all his life. Very pessimistic about the current conditions in El Paso and Juarez, that he does not think things will necessarily get better in 2011. Jesus, first of all, Happy New Year, if I can say that to you, and thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you. Happy New Year to you.
I gather you can't wait for this year to be over.
That's about right, yes.
And, you know, you told a particular story of just how difficult it's become for you to even convey to your children what El Paso and the border area and Juarez used to be like when you were growing up. Any prospect of that changing in the next year?
I really don't know. In El Paso, you know, it's been impacted by the people who had fled over here from Juarez, and also by what would I call them, some neoliberal politicians who are hell-bent on destroying the oldest Mexican-American barrio in El Paso. And, you know, through gentrification, they've moved people from the barrio. So we have twin phenomena at the same time. While El Paso is the safest city in the country, we have the ongoing massacres in Juarez. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. So it's kind of bleak. No, it's a dramatic change from when I grew up.
Jesus, we're in pretty close contact with a lot of people in Juarez on this program. And one of the things that we've heard from them, as you mentioned just a moment ago, is that there appears to be this mass exodus, thousands of people leaving Juarez by the week, headed for El Paso and other places in Texas. What are you seeing in El Paso? Do you see people flooding across the border? How is it impacting local businesses, the local economy? It sounds almost, and I don't want to speak too strongly here, almost like a refugee situation.
It is, except that the refugees are mainly quite wealthy people.
Huh.
They have, it's said that it's almost a quarter of a million people have fled. And many people have bought homes, mostly on the west side of El Paso, which is the affluent area. New businesses have been established. And it is sad to see. Not too long, within the past few days, the El Paso Chamber of Commerce sent out a statement, printed a statement in the local media, that the exodus of people from Juarez to El Paso was a great boon to El Paso business. And you know, many people over here were sickened by that. It's almost like the business community is gleefully celebrating the influx of dollars.
And Jesus, there's a certain kind of hypocrisy there, in that as long as rich people come across the border to buy houses, it's okay. But undocumented workers come across to do other jobs, and they become a big political football in the state.
Very much so, and there's another twin phenomenon. I don't know what's happening to morals in this country, but we're really going to hell in a handbasket. The other big topic, and it's a border issue, but it's spreading, is that the United States is hell-bent on deporting decorated Vietnamese veterans who committed a minor infraction, say like shoplifting a $10 pair of socks. People pled guilty.
Now, let me get this straight here. This is a story that's breaking in your community?
Yes. On the forest in Denver, there's a couple of brothers, the Valenzuela brothers. They're in their 60s.
And these are Latino veterans of the Vietnam War. They're not Vietnamese. They're Latino veterans of the Vietnam War.
Yes, yes, mainly Mexican American people.
Uh-huh.
We have 60. They're in their middle 60s. They're decorated people. One is a Marine. The other an Army vet. And what they're up for hearing on the 4th of January, this Tuesday. They're facing deportation. They were born in Mexico of an American citizen mother, but, you know, they never did the paperwork to have them obtain their certificate of native of American citizens born abroad. And they're being deported.
Well,
now,
I mean, again, they're facing a deep...
About 3,000.
They're facing
There's
a
about 3,000 before them.
Right. They're facing a deportation hearing, but, you know, we talked on this program about... the DREAM Act and how that failed in the lame duck Congress, which would have offered a path to citizenship for people who have served. This is a path to deportation for people who are decorated and have already been in the war. Maybe we'd call it the nightmare scenario.
That's exactly so. Regarding the DREAM Act, I look at it as a sort of a blood libel. Kids paying for the sins of their elders. And what is stupid about that is that these are kids who, against all odds, have mastered English. Many of them honor students, and a whole bunch of them want to go to college and are in college. So we're throwing out future doctors, engineers, teachers. This is bizarre. The level of hatred in this country. I'm 76, and here on the border, we feel it a lot more.
Jesus, let me jump in here. The last time we had you on the program with us, we also spoke to your daughter. Was it Mika?
Micaela, yes.
Micaela was in college, and so I'm assuming that she's somewhere in her early 20s. Let me ask you your level of cynicism, if I can call it that, about the way things stand in the country right now. Does that translate to your daughter? Is she a bit more optimistic, being a young person, being out of Texas, in fact?
We stood in line to vote. She was 21 in time to vote a couple years ago. I'm sorry, she was 18. She's now 21.
Mm-hmm.
And we were big Obama supporters. She is more cynical than I am.
Oh, dear.
She's, it's a tragedy. I have another kid who will be 21 this April. And she says, Daddy, why do we bother to vote at all? I try to tell them the system isn't perfect, and sometimes we're taken for a ride.
So
it is striking that the first minority president didn't lift a finger to convince five people of his own party. I'm not blaming just the Republicans. That's five Democrats who killed the DREAM Act.
Killed the DREAM Act, right?
This is just beyond belief.
Well, Jesus Ochoa, we hear your passion and we love it. You're not a neoliberal, are you?
No, I'm not.
No. 76 years old, Jesus Ochoa, lifelong resident of El Paso, Texas, telling us about the situation there and holding out against cynicism. Happy New Year, Jesus.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.